Good morning, church family. Welcome back home to BUMC Online, the online campus right here at Broadway. I'm Lewis, and I'm the campus pastor here at Online, and I want you to know that you're welcome here, no exceptions. If this is your first time here with us this morning, we'd love to hear from you and get to know that you were here. You can do that by jumping over to broadwayunited.org/share, or if you're with us at BUMCOnline.org this morning, you can click on the communication card button that's at the top right of the page. Today's going to be a great day in worship as Pastor Adam wraps up our message series, My Nine Truths, and Martha and Ellen are here to lead us in worship. Now make sure you've got your candle ready along with your communion elements because you're going to need those in just a little while. This weekend's been a great weekend for some of our sixth grade students that they've experienced Discovery Weekend. Now, Discovery Weekend welcomes our sixth graders into the student ministry. It's designed to give them a connection to God, to each other, and our church family through worship, small group discussions, and of course, a little bit of crazy fun as well. So, if you have preschool or elementary school age children, our Kids Zone team is working really hard to make sure your children have access to some high quality content to help them stay connected to God and to their church family. You can find these resources at broadwayunited.org/KidZone at home. Now, the best way to stay up to date with everything that's going on in the life of your church family is to download the app. And you can do this by texting BUMC app to 77977. Now, grab your candle and your favorite morning beverage, and let's worship together.
Good morning, Broadway family. As we unite for worship this morning, we are joined together by the God who journeys with us through this adventure called life. Now, He doesn't give us a detailed travel itinerary that tells us exactly what we are supposed to do when and where so that we can perfectly execute it. But instead, He gives us Himself. He goes with us as our companion and as our guide. He promises us that there is nowhere we can go from His presence, that if we go up to the highest of highs or down into the lowest of lows, He is there. That if we pass through the waters, He is with us. That if we stumble somewhere along the way, He will not let us fall. And that if we are journeying along and it's getting difficult for us to see where it is that we are headed, that He will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Our God is with us. And as we remember and celebrate that today, let me invite you to light a candle in your home at this time, and let me invite you to join me in the call and response that is on the screen. Oh Lord, let my soul rise to meet you as the day rises to meet the sun. Glory to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Hey.
Good morning. We welcome you into this moment as we come together as the Church of Jesus to lift Him up, to remember that He is our hope and our joy in this moment. So wherever you are, if you're in your car and you're in the living room, we're going to join our voices together and celebrate Jesus this morning.
Ooh, ooh, I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds, they try to shake me. I will not be moved. My feet are on the rock. Ooh, I can feel the waters rise. I can hear the howling lies that haunt me. Fear won't hold me now. My feet are on the rock. Ooh. When I feel my heart about to rain, I will cling to your unchanging grace. Let the waters come and the earth give way. The morning light,
rock I stand, all the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. One more time. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. Come into your presence confident that you are with us. God, we lean into your word. God, we lean into your faithful promises. We lean into your presence right now, God, that is here with us, that is reminding us that we belong to you, we belong to each other. We are your church. And as we remember that we are connected by your spirit, Jesus, we lean into your faithfulness this morning. You are so good to us. We continue to worship.
Great is thy faith. 7 through 14. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
God started it.
Grace is always sufficient.
Every person, all the time.
It's not about me.
Love the person in front of you.
This is it.
We were made to do hard things.
There will always be mystery.
Life is an adventure, not a test.
Life includes risk and failure.
It's not about right and wrong, as much as trust and hope.
We are not graded, just living toward grace with lots of unexpected changes and challenges.
Resist the temptation to measure or calculate life or others or yourself.
Just enjoy the trip.
One of the very first albums I ever owned was Stephen Curtis Chapman's CD, The Great Adventure. The title song compares life with God to blazing a trail out west on the unknown frontier. There's a key moment in the music video when Chapman is standing in this room and all of a sudden all four walls fall away and he's there with arms outstretched in view of the Rocky Mountains. And that symbolizes, I think, the expansive possibility of grace. That album came out in 1992, early in Chapman's career and early in his life. And it captures this feeling of innocence and excitement and hope and, well, adventure. Saddle up your horses. We've got a trail to blaze through the wild blue yonder of God's amazing grace. Let's follow our leader into the glorious unknown. This is a life like no other. Whoa, whoa, this is the great adventure. Life is an adventure, not a test. This is the very last of Pastor Wayne Hunter's 9 truths, and I think he intentionally saved it for last. I also think that this particular truth pushed against some of what Pastor Wayne and maybe many of us learned or thought about God, at least early on, and what it means to follow God. That God is some scorekeeper God, that following Jesus is like taking your medicine, something you have to do but never get to enjoy. Without realizing it, we often default to these shallow understandings of God as well. But life with God is more adventure and less test. And this truth challenges us to take a step back and to look at our approach to life and to God and to following Jesus, to remember what the goal is at the end of all of this and why we do what we do today. So let's take a moment to consider the difference between these two approaches. Tests demand that we come and sit, but adventures compel us to go and act. Tests are anxiety producing, but adventures are adrenaline pumping. Tests involve repeating what we already know, but adventures forge a path into what we don't yet know. Tests are about assessment and evaluation and outcomes, but adventures free us to live more fully whatever comes. Test-based religion sees God as a scorekeeper, but adventurous faith understands God as our trusted guide. Test-based religion asks us to receive Jesus, but adventurous faith beckons each of us to follow him, and that is really all the difference in the world. Tests foster comparison with others, but adventures foster team and community. Tests react to a fixed past, while adventures challenge us to dream a different future. Tests consider failure as a negative, but adventures understand failure as just a natural part of living and learning. A test-based faith and life will avoid risk, but adventure-based life will reward it. Tests are about the head. Adventures captivate head and heart and hands in living out our values to their fullest potential. Bottom line, nobody likes tests. Well, if you do, and if you did, maybe like I did sometimes in school, it wasn't always for the right reasons. But who doesn't like Indiana Jones or Katniss Everdeen or Tom Cruise or Angelina Jolie? Who doesn't love a great epic adventure like Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or The Princess Bride? Well, probably, if we're honest, you and me to some extent. We can be real. Action and adventure, well, that looks pretty great from the couch. We can get our adventure fix by watching TV or going on a little trip or maybe skydiving or bungee jumping if we're really adventurous, but true adventure is risky and messy and hard. And most of us will have some pretty compelling reasons why we'll just stay on the couch, thank you. True risk-taking is actually pretty scary. Given the choice, most of us will gravitate toward what is low risk, what has clear, predictable steps, into what we can guarantee will go our way. According to Psychology Today, most of us will choose to avoid any risks when we can't predict the outcome. Said another way, we like adventures that are safe, sure, and successful. But safety and certainty and success can't be predicted at the start of any adventure and really are not a part of living real life. A safe adventure is an oxymoron. And so maybe we should just sort of at the outset be honest with ourselves. We like the idea of adventure in principle, but in practice, we often choose status quo. And this impulse in us, in individuals, and as communities and systems is so strong that we will fight against adventure. This is true, actually, the more we have to lose financially or relationally or as we go along in life. But what if you and I reframed the challenge of life, the obstacles that we face, and our life with God to think of all of this more as an adventure that we sign up for and less of a test with God watching over us, waiting for us to fail? What if we began to understand that we need to have a sense of adventure to be able to get through the challenges of life, to think of marriage as an adventure in faithfulness so that we know that there's a destination that we're getting to that day when we have spent our entire lives witnessing another person's life? What if we reframed the challenges of parenting less as a test of our patience and our sanity and more as an adventure that we understand there is a day when we are launching our children into the world to be adults who live for Jesus and who give their lives away in service to God and the world? And what if our work was more of an adventure, an opportunity to pursue a vocation, listening to God's voice in the day-to-day and stepping into that vocation, into that calling through little decisions we make day by day? And what if we considered our relationship with God more of an adventure in grace and less the test of sinners in the hands of an angry God? One of Pastor Wayne's favorite words was possibility. What if you and I considered our relationship with God more of an exercise in expansive grace and endless divine possibility? Now, the criticism of this approach is often that this view of God's grace is easier, or maybe too touchy-feely, or too light on sin. But I don't think that's true at all. Adventures test us to our breaking point, by definition, almost. They demand the best of us, and they force us to deal with our demons. But if we only have discipline and no adventure, if we only have this sense of duty without the end, the finish line, then we get sort of stuck, I think, and lose sight of what that end game is. Glorious life with God here in this life and in the life to come. This is why we, as Paul said, must sort of press on toward this goal, this thing that we grab hold of, that in fact Jesus has first grabbed hold of us. Never is courage more needed, I think, than when we boldly answer yes to following Christ. This week, my Facebook feed was filled with these kinds of stories that we see week in and week out. One of those actually was the video of friends who have been in the international adoption process for years. And the video captured the moment when their children came home and they saw them on American soil for the first time. I know when they began that process, they didn't have a clue the time and prayer and heart that would go into what it would take to wait and to trust God. But by the look on their faces, it is clear that none of that mattered in that moment. Recently, a Broadway member texted me. A few years ago, she pursued God's calling. She quit her job and began working full-time for a nonprofit that they had begun to help children and families with medical needs. She shared how the pandemic had really tested that calling and had made things especially difficult, and how it would have been easy to pull back in some ways. But she was still seeing the result, the real result actually, even more so now, of helping people, how much that was needed now more than ever. And that realization, she said, was something she would not give up for the world. Sometimes life simply brings its own adventure or trial or challenge. And if we're honest, it's hard to see the obstacles or the tragedies that we face as part of this larger adventure. When the pandemic began, really in the first weeks of March, I began to have regular conversations with Dr. Rebecca Shadowin, who is a member of our church and who was leading the COVID response for our community as our infectious disease specialist. In those days, I would ask her about the most current information we had in order to keep our congregation safe as we made decisions, and she would call me to wrestle through medical ethical decisions and to pray. One morning, early on in the pandemic, she asked if I could let her into our church sanctuary to pray there alone as she asked God to help her carry the heavy weight that she was bearing for all of us. As she knelt at the altar, I went into my office and I knelt at my chair, asking God to give her strength and to guide her. Unfortunately, Becky contracted a severe case of COVID-19 through community transmission. And she and I continued to have communication as she was in the hospital. I would check on her and would send psalms or prayers and short texts as her condition worsened. The day Dr. Shadowin went on a ventilator was a tough day. for a lot of us, for the medical community, for her family. And it was like getting punched in the gut as she came very, very close to death. Dr. Shadowin's recovery has been extremely slow. But eventually, as she's gotten enough strength, I asked if she would be willing to share some of what she has been telling us about her experience with her disease and with her recovery and with God. And she wrote something for me to share with you. She writes, "As I worsened, it became evident that I was going to be on a ventilator. Just before, I reached out to God and certainly had an experience I never expected. Like the broken child that I was suddenly surrounded by overwhelming comfort, strength, power, and overwhelming joy. I heard or knew that He created the very essence of me, and I was precious to Him. It seemed as a continuum from this world to the next, not a separation. I could sense God scooping up this child He created, and I didn't feel fear, but peace. Eventually, I went to the last line of life support called ECMO, where oxygen is added to the blood outside the body until I could come off of that modality. I was eventually able to come off the ventilator and hope that I'll be able to come home for Christmas. As I slowly gained strength every day, at this point, I just want to live in His grace. My journey is forward. It's a good day to be alive." In her book, Rising Strong, Brené Brown describes sitting down with the storytellers at Disney to learn how they tell a great story. And she learned that every movie Disney makes tells a story in just three parts or three acts. Act one in every story sets up the characters and the plot and the dynamics at play and ultimately the truth that will need to be dealt with in the story. Act three at the end is the resolution of the story, the growth of the characters, and hopefully the happy ending. Act two in the middle is the part between the setup and the solution. Act two is the part of the story where we deal with the conflict, wrestle with our demons, and try to solve the problem that comes out of act one but isn't yet worked out for act three. Act two is, of course, where we live most of our lives, somewhere between where we've come from and where we are going. The adventure of life is really all about act two. This is the realization. And this is what we need to understand. In Act Two, Brené Brown says, this is her quote, "look for every comfortable way to solve the problem." Isn't that true? We all naturally and instinctively do this. We look for the easiest way out of our issues. What is the easiest way to get back to where we were, what we know, and where we feel safe? It is natural for all of us to feel this way at this point in the pandemic, and all of us to feel this way in other aspects of our lives as well. We try to work from what we already know. We use our past experiences to deal with present realities and have trouble envisioning a future that is different. We look for the easy button. We rely on our coping mechanisms that are usually about surviving and avoiding pain. And when that doesn't work for us, many of us will just keep doing the same things over and over and over again, even when, and maybe especially when, they stop working. Truth be told, some of us never get out of Act Two. We just get stuck. But others of us, those of us who are courageous enough to look ourselves in the mirror and to look God in the eye, and usually only after we have used up all of the easy options and they don't work, we'll do the hard work that gets us to Act Three. In Act Two, we can either try to gain more control or we can learn to give it up. We can try to do it on our own or we can learn to ask for help. We can either base decisions out of fear and shame or learn to accept forgiveness and mercy. We can begin to tell our story honestly and with vulnerability to build community and to admit that we don't know what to do next. We can wrestle with our humanness and unlearn bad habits and learn to let God's grace rebuild us. Act two is hard, scary work, but it is the work of adventure because adventures are hard and scary work. I call this doing our soul work. And adventures are all about that soul work. It involves honesty, vulnerability, and courage that we didn't know we needed until we got into the mess that we're in the midst of the adventure. For me, our soul work is ultimately about accepting the truth about our own lives, beginning to live into that truth, and also at the same time accepting the grace that God offers. Act two is learning to live both in grace and in truth. Brené Brown sums up the entire process this way. Act one, two, and three in three words. Act one is called the reckoning. Act three is called the revolution. Act two, in the middle, is the rumble. Frederick Douglass wrote about the rumble he had with slavery, and I think this applies to all of life. He says, if there is no struggle, there is no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom but yet depreciate agitation are men who want crops without plowing up the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of its many waters. We cannot have adventure without risk. We cannot be part of what God is doing sitting on the couch. This life with God is an adventure. The predictability and certainty that we prefer does not get us on the path of possibility that only an adventure with God can bring. Stephen Curtis Chapman has written a great many songs since 1992, since The Great Adventure, and a lot of life has happened in the almost 30 years since. Stephen and Mary Beth Chapman have 6 children. They have helped countless families adopt and have inspired many others, including Jenny and me, to do the same. And they have cared for thousands of orphans around the world. And they have experienced the tragic death of their daughter in May of 2008. Later that year, Stephen Curtis Chapman released another song, Yours, which acknowledges the more heartbreaking side of our adventure. It is definitely less innocent than the song he wrote 30 years prior, and perhaps more honest. He writes, I've walked the valley of death's shadow, so deep and dark that I could barely breathe. I've had to let go of more than I could bear and questioned everything I believe. But still, even here in this great darkness, a comfort and hope come breaking through as I can say in life or death, God, we belong to you. Life with God, this life, just as it is, with all its beauty and pain, your life right now, this is the great adventure. And so may you hear God's invitation into that adventure, back into this life with him, even today, into the adventure of family and friendship, of work and play, of risking and rumbling and finding freedom through letting go and letting God lead you. And may we as a church hear God inviting us yet again into the adventure of our life together as this community of faith. Friends, I will and can be honest, community is hard. It's messy. If you invest your life in a community of faith, your heart will be broken. You will love and you will lose. We will struggle together to understand how God can be faithful in times like this, And in times to come, we will disagree, we will fail, it will be messy, it will be risky. But what is the alternative, friends, to do life separated from God and real people? To go from one community to the next when things get hard? To give up on God's dream of a people that is here on earth to resemble the kingdom of heaven? This is the adventure of God's kingdom. And so the only option is for us together to shift our focus from what is safe and what is certain to what is risky, but actually has the potential to transform us and our world. Many churches will avoid the adventure in order to preserve a false peace and an easier path. But we, the people of Broadway, must press into the adventure, not losing sight of the end destination, the adventure of belonging to God and belonging to one another. We together must rumble, and we must renew our determination to this adventure. In the face of our many losses, even in this moment, we, like Paul, resolve to consider everything, actually, as a loss, everything else a loss, to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ as our Lord. Not that we have already obtained all this, Paul says, and we agree, or that we have already arrived at our goal, but we press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us. Brothers and sisters, we don't consider yet to have already taken hold of it, but one thing we do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, we press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. This, friends, is the great adventure. Amen. I'll invite you to join me in the words on the screen as we prepare to receive Holy Communion today. And I pray that you will hear this as an invitation from Christ himself to follow him in the life that he has ahead for you and for us. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, again gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering to us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. God, would you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and in various places around our community and world, and on these gifts of bread and cup. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in the adventure of ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at his heavenly banquet. Through your Holy Spirit, your Son Jesus Christ, and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Would you serve those who are with you, and would you receive the gift of God's grace and the invitation into God's kingdom through communion? Let's share together.
How beautiful the hands that served, the wine and the bread and the children. Hill to the cross.
Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my doom till I met you.
Worshiping with us today. If there is a next step that you sense God is calling you to take, or if you have any prayer requests today, please be sure to let us know that on the online communication form. You can access that on the online worship platform or through our app. We would love to hear from you. Also, if you'd like to respond in worship today by giving to the ministry of Broadway, you can do that very quickly and easily in a number of ways. You can do that as well through that online worship platform, through our app, on our website, broadwayunited.org/give, or by mailing your check to the church. This month, our dollar difference will be going to WKU's Wesley Foundation, an amazing ministry which seeks to extend God's grace to all of the people that are on campus and that seeks to raise up disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to support this ministry directly, then you can give to the dollar difference through those means that I just mentioned. You can just select dollar difference from that drop-down menu when you go to give, or write it in on your memo line on your check. WKU will be returning back to campus very soon for classes, or at least that's the plan in the moment. And in the same way, our students here in our county and our city schools will be returning in the weeks ahead as well. We know that many of our church family members are administrators and teachers and staff members in our schools. And we want you to know this morning that you are on our hearts and on our minds. We know that you are working very, very hard in the midst of a very difficult, if not impossible, situation. And so as you continue to prepare to welcome students back onto campus and into your schools, we'd like to lift you up in prayer today. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for these servants of yours. We thank you for the way that they have answered your call on their lives to invest themselves and the lives of young people. God, in this uncertain time where they're facing challenges that they've never had to face before, God, we pray that you would equip them with all that they need. We pray that you would fill them up with your peace and your patience, with discernment and determination, and that you would fill them up with your comfort and compassion. Compassion not only for them, their students, but compassion for themselves as well, as they navigate this new situation, as they themselves learn and stretch and grow. God, may their steps be guided by your grace and your goodness in the weeks ahead. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we return back together next week, we'll be launching into a brand new sermon series called I Am. We hope that you'll come and be a part of that. We know we find ourselves in a place where so much around us is changing and up in the air and uncertain. But what we can be sure of, what is certain, what has not changed, is who Jesus is. And so throughout this series, we're going to be focusing in on the I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John and fixing our eyes on him. Until we're together again, would you join me in the benediction on the screen? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking, as he did, this simple world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I might be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. We'll see you next week.